This morning, the book of Titus, chapter 2. You'll look with me there in the scripture. Titus, praise God, was a man of God, and he was to appoint elders in the church, and he had some instruction from the man of God, Paul. Paul was an apostle of the Lord. He had authority of God to give men, thank God as Titus, instruction in what to do. He was in Crete, and in that city or that place on the map, there were many cities. They had house churches. That's why they met, that's where they met in that time. And he's a going to these places, and he's a setting up elders in the church. And he gives, in the scripture, he gives qualifications or the things that they need to have in order to be a man of God to stand before them people. And it looks like to me in chapter 2 that he went across to the next chapter and give really the same thought to the older men and the older women that was in the church. And so we find that in the scripture here. And there's so much instruction here, I don't have time and don't feel like God's got me that way, that he spoke to the men and the women of the church that this is the way they're supposed to be. This is God's will for the church. I won't say this morning. If the home ever got right with God, the church would. You listen, friend, you say all you want to. Brother, God didn't tell me to raise your children. God told me to preach to them, but God told that man of that house, thank God, to raise his children. God told that woman of the house to submit to that man's leadership within that house. Thank God, it's the way of God. You can't get around that. Thank God, the man's to lead the home, the woman's to submit to the man, and that man and that woman's to walk hand in hand, submitting themselves in the fear of God one to another and raise their children. Amen. And bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You need a place to come and worship. And brother, it's most important that you be in a house of God where you have worship. Amen. You need to know that. The children need to know that. They need to know this place. Thank God, apart from the house you live in is the most important house that you'll enter into. Amen. You say, why, preacher? This is God's house. Amen. I know God's the same no matter where we're at, but he does assemble with his people. And God's faithful in doing it. And so they need to know that. Women need to do what God says. Men need to do what God says. And if you do that, then you'll be all right. If you don't, then you're going to have troubles. We have troubles anyway. It don't matter who you are. But the brethren said it right. Thank God, you got to make a choice who you're going to go with. Amen. I believe in that day Joshua just drawed a line in the sand and said, choose you this day. He said, I want it to be done this day. Who you going to serve, whether it be God or whether it be the, thank God, the God you served on the other side of the flood. And so there has to be a choice. Titus, thank God, to tell them this is the way it is. Now, I won't say this. I don't believe, and I'm not a pessimist, but I don't believe we'll ever turn this thing back the way it was 50 years ago. I don't believe that. I believe, brethren, that we're already in the system of a world that's going to the Antichrist. I'm not in that system, but I live in within that system. And there's things are going on now that we're not going to turn back. But we can obey the Word of God. Amen. We're not going to go back. Majority of you, I don't think you will. Thank God, going to stop going to the grocery store and go back to farming and everything you eat, you're going to grow. I don't believe you're going to do that. I don't believe you're going to not do the things that these people years ago, they had, thank God, lives where it was just committed to that house. And brother, the children worked in the fields. Hey, brother, we're past that now. You can try it if you want to, and I hope it'll work for you. Thank God, and don't give them a cell phone when they get to be 6 and 7 years old. Amen. That's right. And surely you wouldn't give them something that would cause them great harm. But brother, I'm telling you, it's sad, but it's true. And we live in that hour. Kids, children don't know how to work in these days. It's because the clocks turn that way. Amen. We don't have to turn with a clock, but the thing of it is, there is a system that our world is in now. Amen. We're in a social media world, and that's just where we at. I don't think all of it's bad, but I do say this. It's like anything. It's what you do with it. Amen. You can take anything that you might have as a possession and make it something that it ought not be. And then you can turn around and do something good with it. And brother, you have to find that out. You know what somebody's saying? And I found this thing out. I don't know where I'm going with this message, but I'm preaching what's coming to me. And I say this, and I want to say it again. I'm not your Lord. God, Jesus is. I am a man of God. God put here to lead the flock of God. But I'm telling you this, everyone's their own king and priest, and everyone's their own person in God. You don't have to come to me to get through your prayer. I will pray for you in the name of Jesus. I will pray with you in the name of Jesus. But brother, you don't have to have me around to get a hold of him. You can pray yourself. I'm glad for that. Thank God. But what I want to say is that we do have a liberty in Christ. Now he said, don't use that liberty on occasions of the flesh. Amen. Don't have a start point. Don't give fleshly lust the open door to seek after them things. Because what happens when you open the door to one thing, another thing's coming in. And you got to be careful. Amen. And so therefore we can't do what we want to. I want to say this morning. You will do what's in your heart. You will. You said, why did I come today? It was in your heart, wasn't it? Amen. If it wasn't, you probably won't come back. But if it's in your heart to be in the house of God, amen, the preacher won't have to visit you 5 and 6 times a year and knock on your door and say, where you was at Sunday. Amen. It's because it's in your heart. You do what's in your heart. I can't preach enough to keep you in the will of God. Amen. The Holy Ghost has to do that. And brother, you can't say enough about me to keep me where I need to be with God. Somebody said, I don't know why people keep doing that. I said, what you say to them ain't going to change them. God's got to get in where they're at and deal with their sin and do something for them. And Titus is laying down, thank God, a deep, thank God, word to men and women and older men to teach the younger men and the older women to teach the younger women. If they don't teach them, how are they going to know? Every girl ought to be taught by their mama. Amen. And every man ought to have some, thank God, some teaching from his daddy. And brother, I'm telling you this, that's what Titus is saying. It ain't really somebody holding a Bible up trying to preach to them. It's practical living. It's preaching a message, a pattern in front of them that they can watch their life and get something from them. And that's what Titus is saying. He's saying, teach them. Thank God, he ain't saying you got to have a Bible before them. But your life in general is what the teacher is. And if our lives don't like the Word of God, then we're in a mess. Amen. Now, I'm going to say this. Now, in that day, the reason Titus wrote these things were there was false professions and false teachers. And really, if you look at it, he talked about them being slow bellies and liars and things like that. He's dealing with that day. He's dealing with what they're teaching in that day. You can't get away from that, friend. There's all kind of false teachers today. And somebody said, well, I don't believe it that way. Well, there's only one interpretation. Now, somebody's wrong. Amen. That's right. There's some applications that we can take from a verse, and there's more than one. But there's one interpretation of what God's saying to his people. Amen. It ain't of a private interpretation. Holy men of God spake as they was moved by the Holy Ghost. If you got the Holy Ghost in you, he's going to interpret this Bible. You got a right to buy the truth. And Titus got down in verse 11. He said, for the grace of God that bring of salvation hadn't appeared to all men. Now, I don't know whether that's dealing with the incarnation of Christ, even though he was incarnated, thank God, conceived by the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary, and the grace of God come through him and was by him. And he said the grace of God appeared to appeared. Now, I won't say this, and it could mean that this is the plan of God right here that's appeared to man through grace. We live in a grace day, thank God. That means God chooses to give favor to you, and God chooses to give favor to me, even though I I don't deserve His favor. God gives it to me. Amen. I'm glad God let me be in a place to get it. Amen. But God can give it who He wants to, when He wants to. And God did. He has a purpose in everything He does. Amen. And I'm telling you, grace is the way a man's saved. He's not saved. Ain't got apart from the grace of God. But He said the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And that's exactly the way God said it in the book. He said the grace of God teaches you some things. The Holy Ghost through the, ain't God, the Word, and the grace of God in you teaches you something. Hey God, friend, I'm telling you this morning, because if you don't have no grace, then you're not going to be taught by God. Amen. You'll say, wonder why people don't do what the Bible says. It might be because their grace is a little low. Amen. Because the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. God got to teach it to him. And when God teaches something to a man, the Bible said much is given, much is required. And when God teaches you something and you don't do it, then you're accountable for what you ought to do. Amen.
Yep.
That's right.
Amen.
He said, then he said, looking for that blessed hope.
Amen.
That glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope. Now the hope he's talking about there, if verse 11 deals with his first coming, then surely verse number 13 deals with his next coming or second coming. For we look for that blessed hope. That hope's always before you. Hey God, if hope is something where we have expectation in or assurance in. I like what Brother Jeremy said yesterday, talking about that hope being a reassurance. Amen. We have that reassurance when we read the Scripture that we have the hope of God's Son, Jesus, coming back to take His own. Amen. And so we have that hope. But verse 14 was the verse that I just wanted to say a little something about. And I'll let you go this morning. In Titus 2 and verse 14, the Bible said, who gave Himself for us. Who gave Himself for us. He gave, listen, friend, Titus is saying, who gave Himself for us. Amen. That he was talking to a group of people that believed, and he said this, who gave Himself for us. Amen. He gave Himself on the cross for us. Notice what he said. What was the very purpose of God in giving Himself on the cross for us? Notice what he said. Hey God, that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Hey God, the reason He gave Himself for us was to redeem us. That means to buy us back off of. Hey God, the sin market. Amen. Are my friends. And I say, thank God, get us out of lawlessness. Thank God, iniquity, all iniquity is lawlessness. It's breaking the law of God and trespassing against Him and doing what He says don't do. And all that accountability was on us. Thank God, the Bible said we've all sinned. We've all broke the law of God. He's come to redeem us or buy us. Thank God, and take us off that place we was in. Hey, God, friend, and save us and redeem us. Hey, God, and make us. Hey, God, a new man. Amen. Hey, God, when you get out of one place, He puts you in the family of God Almighty. Hey, God, He cleans you up. Hey, God, He redeems you. Amen. Hey, brother, I'm telling you, that's His purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Notice this here. He said here, and purifying Himself a peculiar people. Now you say, what's that mean, preacher? It means a people of His own, a special people. And I'll tell you what else it means. It means being beyond usual.
Yes, sir.
Being beyond you. That's right. That is strange. Because you don't fit in.
Yes.
You don't fit in with the world. Amen. You're different than what the world is.
Yes, sir.
You think different than the world thinks. Amen. He said over there in the Word of God, he said who over there in Galatians 1, he said He redeemed us from this evil world. He saved us from this evil present world. The world, friend, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Hey, God, friend, when you get saved, you're not of this world. Amen. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. You say, what are we here for? Thank God to shine His lights in this world and give glory to God while we're in this world. world. And God wants us to be used in this world. But we're not of this world. We're a peculiar people. Ain't God, has anybody ever looked at you and thought, that's a little peculiar how that man acts? That's a little peculiar how that man speaks. When they seen Jesus, they thought he was peculiar. They said, no man ever spake like this man. No man ever said the things this man said. Ain't God, why do you think they killed him? What, because they loved him? They hate him without a cause. They said, we'll not have this man to reign over us. Hey, God, Brent, I'm telling you this. You can't hold hands with the world and hold hands with God. That's one way or another, friend. And I'm telling you, if you're born again and saved by the grace of God, amen, God saved you and made you a peculiar person. That's what's the purpose of God. He wants you to live different, amen. That's right. And I'll tell you this, he's going to make you live different. You say, make you? He can. Your daddy make you listen?
Yeah.
My daddy made me listen. You say, how? With a rod on my hind end? That's right. You know what? I knew what he said it meant. When he spoke, I did. How did he do that, preacher? He had the authority. He said, I'm the daddy and you the son. I didn't have the authority. He had it. In fact, I have reverential. I say, use the word reverential. I'm scared of him.
Oh, come on. Come on.
You say you ought not be scared of him. Well, I was scared. If I didn't do what he said, I was going to get the rod. Amen. That's right. You can't bend the tree when they're teenagers. You bend them when they're growing up, little. Amen. That's another subject in itself that most people don't believe today because they've been listening to psychology too much. I'm not a psychologist. I'm a preacher.
Amen.
I ain't trying to work on your mind. I'm trying to get in your heart with the truth that you might trust Christ and be born again and saved and obey the gospel. Amen. Because without that, you'll go to hell, friend. And brother, I'm telling you this morning, that God's got a plan. He had you saved. Hey, God, by the grace of God, he wants you to be a peculiar people. Notice what he said. They're the Zealous. Boy, don't see much zeal no more. Zealous unto God. You know what the word zealous means? A zealot. That's somebody that says thinking he's a little overboard with it. Amen. That's right. That's right. That's right. You go to a football game, you'll find zealots. They paint their faces. They sit out 20 degrees weather. Some people come and complain about the temperature in the church if it's 5 degrees cold. They wearing coats and furs and toboggans and everything else, sitting out 20 degree weather and the windshield's minus zero, and they're out there clapping for their own team. It's probably fueled with a little something to make them feel better. I tell you what, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it won't matter what the temperature is in the church. Amen. That's right, brother. Amen. I'd rather have it a little warm than a wood cold. But I'll tell you one thing, it don't have no bearing on what I say and how I live. Amen. And he wants you to be zealous unto good works. That means a zealot. Thank God that means fervent. Hey, where's the fervency? Praise God. I'm tired of this going through the motions. I'm God going to church and going through the motions. There ain't no power of God. There ain't no movement of God, friend. I'm telling you, I ain't messing with it. Amen. I made one statement to y'all, and I love y'all. Y'all ain't dead neither, and I ain't saying y'all. But I ain't going to mess around where dead people are. I'll preach to you if you're dead. Maybe God will make you alive. Right. I'm telling you what. If it's dead, thank God we need to bury it. Amen. That's right. If this Bible don't have a life in it, praise God, we have to find something that does. But it does have a life in it. You know what? It testifies of Christ. He's alive. Amen. He wants you to be zealous, friend. Amen. When's the last time you had a good hot testimony? A good hot testimony. Hell, zealous. Under good words. Couldn't wait to get out and tell your co-worker about Jesus. When's the last time you believed God to save anybody in your family? Do a miracle in your family? When's the last time? You know why? You ain't got no zeal in you. You say, where's it at, preacher? Somewhere. It's somewhere. It's somewhere. We left it somewhere. Isaiah said the good works. He said, I want you to be like this. Now, I'm going to tell you this. When you take that on you, you're going to suffer some shame.
Yes, sir.
You'll suffer some shame with it. Because somebody ain't going to like what you're saying to them.
Yes, you're right.
And I ain't talking about acting foolish, but there is a fervency of God that comes within. When I got saved, that's what happened. what happens in my heart happens in your heart when you get saved. Amen. This thing's real, brother. It's real. I don't think there's nothing impossible with God. I think all things possible with God. Now listen to me. If you believe that, if you believe it, if you believe it, ain't nothing God can't do. See, that's why I'm fired up for Him. Because there's always expectation and hope that God can do great things. That's right. You say, have you ever lose your hope? No. If I lost my hope, I'd have to go hide in a cave somewhere. That's what He said in Psalm 11, Brother Danny. He said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? He's talking about the foundation of hope. If I lose the foundation of hope, then I have no hope. I only got to go hide somewhere. I got hope this morning. Hope's real. See, you know what drowns, what tries to drown hope out? Negative people. Oh, you don't believe that, do you? Yeah. What y'all want to believe in, I'll believe with you if it's in the Bible. Don't nobody come tell me it can't happen. Amen. Yeah. Isaiah, son of God, works.
Yep.
Isaiah, son of good works. God can change anybody in their heart.
Yeah.
He did me. And He did you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's stand this morning. Appreciate you hearing me.